Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks, and welcome to Democratic Perspective. Today, we're going to be discussing Social Security, the great social program that begun during the Roosevelt administration more than 75 years ago. Co-hosting the show today is Bill Timmerman. We call the program Social Security and the Deficit Hawks. Social Security has been a reliable source of income protection for generations of Americans. It's been adjusted and been expanded, but it's never defaulted and never even come close to defaulting. It has a $2.5 trillion trust fund surplus of Treasury notes backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, one of the safest investments in the world. And yet, a recent poll shows that 81% of the people polled worried about whether Social Security would survive.
Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to look at the facts and ask why people are so worried. Let's begin by recalling a little history. The Social Security program was first established in 1935 in the midst of a terrible depression, with economic activity at a standstill and unemployment running over 20%. It had several goals, which seemed ambitious at the time, but in hindsight have proven to be fairly modest. First, to put a guaranteed floor under the income of wage earners who were too old to work, and the widows and orphans of workers who die early. Second, to finance this program with a relatively small tax on both employers and employees. And finally, by keeping the program nonprofit, to reduce its administrative costs to a minimum. By any measure, the program has been enormously successful and cost-efficient. Today, with a payroll tax which is still only 6.2% on wages up to $106,000 a year, and total administrative costs, which since 1989 have been less than 1%. Social Security covers 88% of all Americans, and everyone who's paid into Social Security has gotten his checks as promised. Administrative costs for private insurance plans of all kinds are far higher. Republicans are now telling us that the federal government deficits have gotten so large, and the coming retirement of so many baby boomers has so stressed the payroll tax receipts from current wage earners, that Social Security is unsustainable in its present form, that we simply can't afford it any longer. Well, on Democratic Perspective, we're here to tell you that all of that is nonsense. No matter how you look at the figures, it just isn't true.
What you have to watch out for is a kind of bait and switch. People who pretend to be very, very worried about the deficit, but have never seen a tax cut for the wealthy or an unfunded war that they didn't like. Politicians and extreme conservatives who don't believe in Social Security for ideological reasons, despite all the good it's done, and want to use the deficit we're running in the middle of the Great Recession as an excuse to end the program as we know it. What actually happens in 25 to 30 years? If nothing is done, Social Security won't go broke, but it will begin to pay out a reduced amount of money, 75 to 80% of current benefits. And if people only get 80% of their social, they're going to be pissed off.
Conservatives attack Social Security by calling it an entitlement, implying that we're getting something for nothing. That's just not true. Social Security is an insurance program funded entirely by payroll taxes and by the interest earned from investing the excess payroll tax receipts in government securities. Like all insurance programs, its coverage is very specific. It pays benefits only to wage earners who pay into the program for a specified period, either when they retire or are disabled, or to their spouses and children if they die early. It covers far more people than most insurance policies, but as is the case with other insurance policies, not everyone gets out of it what he pays in. If you're single and die at age 55 after paying into the program for 35 years, you're out of luck. Just like the person who buys auto insurance and never has an accident. So Social Security is not an investment program. It's a protection against risk. That isn't socialism. That's just good common sense.
In terms of the amount of good that it has done the American people. It's hard to imagine a more solid and consistent program than Social Security. It's done what it was intended to do, decade after decade. It provides a very modest security through a national insurance program. You can make all kinds of mistakes in your life, from bad investment to bad marriages to run-ins with the law. You can be the victim of fraud or bad in-laws. You can be far from the brightest guy on the block or the strongest or the healthiest or the luckiest, and you're still going to get your social. It's not charity. You don't have to beg for it. You've earned it by making small contributions from your wages matched by those of your employer for your whole working life. And almost everybody, as Bill said, is covered by Social Security. That's why it works. The scale of the program, the huge number of people covered, keeps the administrative costs relatively small. It's about 1%, even less. It's one of the most efficient and cost-effective programs in the entire world.
The average Social Security retirement benefit is $1,105 a month, yet you seldom hear Social Security talked about in a positive way. Liberals, progressives, Democrats, and moderate Republicans never get credit for the battles they fought to create and protect it. What struck many people was the protester at the Tea Party rally with a sign that said, "Keep your government hands off my Medicare." He doesn't seem to know that Medicare, like Social Security, is a government program. He's angry at the people who established it, people who spent a lot of time getting called socialists or communists or enemies of business because they supported it.
Almost every American benefits from Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, or unemployment insurance sometime during their life. And yet, only 40% of the people on Social Security who responded to a recent poll thought they ever benefited from a government program. People are looking at the issue through a ginned-up ideology rather than through the facts. We have to put into Social Security a little over 6% of our earnings. We don't have a choice. It's a tax, but it frees us from being pressured by ourselves and others, and businesses have to kick in and match the same percentage that workers contribute. And that's what a lot of conservatives don't like.
People have forgotten the history of our social programs. Social Security was enacted 76 years ago, so there's almost no one alive who was an adult back then.
And conservatives always said the same thing, haven't they? Whether they're talking about child labor laws in the mid-19th century or Medicare today. And they've said it about every single social reform.
Yeah, here's a doozy from Ann Coulter, the queen of conservative nastiness. "It's worth remembering," she said, "that even after the collapse, Enron stock is still worth more than the entire Social Security Trust Fund." No, Ann, sorry. As of last Friday, Enron's market cap was $90,000. The Social Security Trust Fund that same day held over $2.5 trillion in federal government securities.
I think the thing is, if you believe government is the problem, that government can never do anything right, that all government has to do is get out of the way and everything will be just dandy, then programs like Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance that soften the rough edges of capitalism are inconvenient facts. Despite appearances, they still can't be good. Something has to be wrong. Even though the Social Security is helping you and your relatives, something has to be wrong. It's secretly going broke.
Ronald Reagan, you know, said things like that, but he never acted on them as president. He was an ideological conservative, but he had a practical streak. He went into a back room in 1983 with Tip O'Neill, the Democratic Speaker of the House at the time, and they cut a deal to stabilize Social Security. As President Obama has said, Social Security funding problems are easy to solve in a bipartisan way, if you want to solve them. Yes, Reagan campaigned against LBJ's Great Society programs, but look what he was campaigning against. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, VISTA, Head Start, food stamps, grants to schools and colleges.
Laws that wouldn't let you discriminate against women and minorities, that would interfere with your right to hire and fire who you wanted to. And they took tax money and they gave it to the poorest of the poor, who had never had a fair shake in trying to make money as wage earners. And they expanded education and they tried to lift millions of folks out of generations of poverty. Whenever folks don't do the right thing on their own, you have to have a law. Some mistakes get made, and there's a downside. And people feel there's a downside for them even when something produces a greater good. It's hard to accept, but the greater good for society is not obviously best for us as individuals. And you have to look at the larger picture beyond narrow self-interest. When you don't have much, that's really hard to do.
Democrats believe in the right of the people acting through their own government to right social wrongs and improve people's lives. That's the core difference between Democrats and Republicans. And now that there are few moderates left in the Republican Party, it's become a partisan issue, which it really shouldn't be. Liberals and Democrats believe that people have to use our government, with all its flaws, to make society livable. People forget that the absolute free enterprise system collapsed in the Great Depression and generated fierce opposition from millions of people, some of whom became so alienated that they joined totalitarian movements like fascism or communism just to try and right the harsh inequalities of their situation.
Even though the problem with Social Security is not immediate, the sooner we put Social Security on a firmer ground, the better and easier it'll be to fix it. Right now, there's a cap on the amount of income taxed at about $106,000 a year. Simply uncapping that limitation on what's being taxed would go a long way toward solving the problem. The reason is that there are a lot of really huge salaries out there. Most people have experienced a collapse in middle-class wages and medical benefits and really aren't aware of it.
What about raising the age at which you start receiving benefits?
Not a terrible thing to do. It depends on how slowly you introduce the increase. But there are a couple of negatives to think about, folks. You've heard about the increase in life expectancy, but only the upper income earners are living significantly longer. The people at the bottom are not. Probably the wealthy are just getting better medical treatment. We don't really know the reasons why. So if you have a desk job, it's one thing. Doing physical labor until you're 70 is another. A man or woman doing manual labor doesn't have as long a work life as someone doing something physically easier. So if you move in the direction of increasing the age of retirement to 69 or 70, you have to make adjustments to keep things fair.
As I see it, people are looking for solutions to Social Security solvency from politicians who are ideologically opposed to the idea of any government-funded social insurance at all.
Exactly. The investment industry would have reaped a huge windfall from the fees charged to invest your money. Investment advisors deserve a fee, but it would have cost billions to switch to private accounts, even if the fees were regulated, and they weren't.
We're going to be talking about Medicare and health care reform on future programs. On May 9th, we'll be interviewing former governor and Democratic Party head Howard Dean. In the weeks following, we'll have interviews with Democratic firebrand Alan Grayson and former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. And don't forget to visit our Democratic Perspective website at www.vvid.org. You can find links there to the facts we've presented on our shows, recordings of our programs, and information on how to contact us by email, phone, or a plain old letter. That's Democratic Perspective, www.vvid.org. Thanks for listening, everyone, and be sure to tune in next week for another edition of Democratic Perspective.
I hope, folks, when you hear hysterical stuff from Republicans, that you will go to sources that are interested in making Social Security work, not phony deficit hawks, organizations like the AARP, who don't always agree with each other, but they're not ideological opponents of social programs. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.